This communion season, we've been considering the theme, Jesus, our Spirit-filled Savior. And we have looked at how God, the Holy Spirit, prepared the Lord Jesus for his public ministry. We've looked at how the Holy Spirit empowered the Lord Jesus in his public ministry and in his death. And this evening, we'll note how the Holy Spirit was still at work in Christ after his death. We've been looking at what's known as our Lord's state of humiliation, how he humbled himself. And then, having humbled himself to death on the cross, then we're told in the Scriptures how God raised him up. How God exalted him. So I want to speak this evening on Jesus exalted by the Spirit. And first of all, thinking about him exalted in his resurrection. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, we have these words about the Lord Jesus. It says there, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." The Lord Jesus Christ was made alive by the Spirit. And those words refer to his resurrection. There you have the work of God, the Holy Spirit, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, there are other scriptures which tell us that the raising of Christ from the dead was the work of God the Father. The Father raised him from the dead. There are scriptures that speak about Christ himself rising from the dead as if it's just something that he does. But there in 1 Peter 3, verse 18, we see that it is God, the Holy Spirit, who makes Christ alive after he has died. So the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is a work of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is made alive by the Spirit. And yet, even in his death, God, the Holy Spirit, had been active in preserving our Lord's dead body from decay. In the time when Christ was in the tomb, there was no decay. Psalm 16, verse 10, it says, "For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." And those words are prophetic of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was not allowed to see corruption in his flesh. God, the Holy Spirit, preserved the body of our Lord. There was no decay. There was no corruption. But Jesus didn't remain under the power of death. He rose again. He was made alive by the Spirit of God. He rose on the other side of the grave. He rose beyond the power of death. He rose never to die again, and he is made alive, Peter tells us, by the Spirit. Now, God's word teaches us that we ourselves are by nature dead. We are dead in our sins. We are dead in our transgressions. And as the dead body of Jesus had to be made alive at his resurrection by the work of God, the Holy Spirit, so we need to be made alive in our souls by the work of God, the Holy Spirit. Jesus taught that we need to be born again of the Spirit of God. Here and now, in this life, we need to be made alive by the Spirit. And if we're not, well, then we remain dead in our sins. And God's word encourages us to remember and think about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Because if we believe in Christ, if we're trusting in him, well then just as he was raised from the dead, we also can look forward to being raised from the dead. That's if we have died before Christ returns. Those who have died in Christ will rise on the other side of the grave, rise in our resurrection bodies. When Jesus rose from the dead, when the Spirit made him alive, he had a physical body that the disciples of Christ could see and touch. And Christ, having risen from the dead, his people will also rise from the dead and will be with the Lord Jesus forever. We read in 1 Corinthians 15 some words of the Apostle Paul about the resurrection of believers. Verse 35, Paul writes, "But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come?" Verse 42 and following, he says that the body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There's a difference between the body that we have now and the body that will be raised from the dead, made alive by the Spirit of God. Paul continues in verse 47. He says, he's talking about Adam, who was made of the dust of the earth. And on the other hand, he's speaking about the Lord Jesus. Adam is the first man that he refers to. He is the man of dust. And the second man is the Lord Jesus, the heavenly man. And Paul says from verse 47, the first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And then of Christians, he says, and as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Here and now, we're like Adam, but in the resurrection, we shall be like Christ. We shall bear the image of Christ, the heavenly man. As believers, we know what it is to bear the image of the fallen Adam. But that is a short-lived thing. Forever and ever, believers will bear the image of the risen Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus was made alive by the Spirit. He was made alive for us. And if we are in Christ, we will be made alive also by the Spirit of God. Made alive when we become believers in the first place. Made alive in the resurrection of Christ. So Christ is exalted in his resurrection. Then the second thing I want to speak about is Christ exalted in his ascension. After the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, after the Spirit of God made him alive who had been dead, he didn't remain for long upon the face of this earth. Soon the day came when he rose higher. He rose higher still, and he was seen by his followers ascending up from this earth and into heaven itself. And Christ ascended into heaven in the power of the Spirit of God. And before he did so, he promised that from heaven he would send his Spirit upon his people. Acts chapter 1, verse 5. Jesus says there, "You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." In verse 8 he says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And Jesus talks about how he will ascend into heaven, and from heaven he will send God, the Holy Spirit, in order that his people will be witnesses to Christ. And even before he had died, the Lord Jesus had spoken about sending the Spirit. We read in John chapter 16, and in verse 7 there, Jesus says, "It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Verse 13, he says, "When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." In verse 14, "He," that's the Spirit, "will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you." And so Jesus wanted his apostles to be sure that his going back to heaven was not bad news, but that was good news for them. While the Lord Jesus had been with them, he himself had worked in the power of the Holy Spirit. And soon the work of Christ was going to press on and press ahead, and the apostles would be at the forefront of the advance of the gospel. And together with all the Lord's followers, they would work in the power of the Holy Spirit. They would be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they would know the Spirit's enabling as they were witnesses to the Lord Jesus. So the ascension of Christ into heaven, Christ being exalted to heaven itself, that was going to be a good thing for God's people. And it would also be good in terms of the fact that Christ taught them that he was going ahead of them. He was going in advance of them. And where he went, they would in time follow. John 14, verse 2, Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus is teaching his apostles that there is going to be this physical separation, but that forever Christ will be with his people. Where he will be, there they will be also. And so there was that time between the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and his ascension, where he was seen by many people, and he had conversations, and he ate with people, and so on. And then the time came when the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven. And the Christ who ascended into heaven came back to earth on one occasion. He came back to earth to call Saul of Tarsus to be Christ's apostle. Now, the Lord Jesus that appeared to Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road was a man that Saul of Tarsus was not able to look at. Christ had been changed from the days before his ascension. In those days, the disciples recognized him. His post-resurrection body looked similar to how he had looked before his death. He looked like a man. But when Christ ascended into heaven, he was glorified. And he became a man that couldn't be looked at. And Christ had a glory that is too great for Saul of Tarsus to behold. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord who is glorious. He shines brighter than the sun. And the Apostle Paul teaches us that glory of Christ is the glory that awaits the followers of Christ. Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21, he says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body." He doesn't say that Christ will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his resurrection body, but he says that it will be conformed to his glorious body. The body of Christ that Paul was not able to look upon. The Lord Jesus is coming back, and when his people are raised from the dead, we will have bodies that are not just bodies that are similar to what we have here and now, but we will have bodies that are glorious bodies. And so the ascension of Christ is good news for believers. Christ who entered into glory and receives a body his body becomes a glorious body. This is the future also for his followers. In the Old Testament, Daniel wrote about the future glory of those who, when the resurrection came, those who would be resurrected unto everlasting life. In Daniel 12, verse 3, he writes, "Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." Those who believe in Jesus Christ will shine like the glorious stars forever and ever. Christ has secured for us an everlasting body that will be a glorious body like his glorious body. The resurrected, ascended Christ, he is shining already. And his saved people will shine with him forever. So in the second place, we see Christ exalted in his ascension. And then in the third place, I want to speak about Christ exalted to God's right hand. Christ's exaltation by God the Holy Spirit is not merely a resurrection to heaven, but the scriptures assure us that Jesus has been exalted to the very highest place in heaven. He's not stuck in some little back room in heaven that's a wonderful little back room. No, he's exalted to the very highest place. Philippians 2, verse 9 says, "Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name." Acts 2, verse 33. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, spoke of Christ being exalted to the right hand of God. He has the name that's above every name, and he is at the right hand of God. Hebrews 10, verse 12, it says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God." It's not just that he's at the right hand of God, but he is seated at the right hand of God. There he is on his throne. Throne of authority, power and influence. In Hebrews 12, verse 2, it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." The place where Christ is the place of highest authority. And there the Lord Jesus sits. There he sits upon his throne. There he sits as the judge of all the earth. There he sits as King of kings and Lord of lords. In our Presbyterian church government, within the local congregation, authority lies with what's called the session. And when Christ sits at the right hand of God, that is described as his session, his act of sitting. That is Christ's session. And he is the highest authority. And he uses that authority of his for the good of his people. Paul writes in Ephesians 2 from verse 20, he says, "He raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion." He's far above all the ranks of angels, and far above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And it says, "And he put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church," or for the church. And there we're taught about Christ, the ruler, the heavenly ruler. And we're taught that his eye is upon his bride, the church on earth. Christ's eye is always upon his bride. He is the head over all things, but he is given as the head over all things to the church. The world doesn't think much of the church, but Jesus Christ thinks the world of the church. And the church is the bride of Jesus Christ. And there's nothing else on earth that you can be a part of that is as special as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing here on earth that is more precious to Jesus Christ than his bride. And so when you are busy serving Christ within his church, you can have every confidence that his eye is upon you. He is watching you. He's remembering you. And he'll be sending his Spirit to strengthen you, even as the Spirit strengthened him when he was in this world. The Lord knows what's needed for living in this world. He's been here. He knows what it takes And what it takes is the Spirit of God. And Christ has been made head over all things for the church. The Lord Jesus Christ has risen. He has ascended, and he reigns for us. And we Christians are united to him. We are wedded to him. And this is all of his marvelous grace. And we must remember that we have this wonderfully privileged position because it serves the glory of God. We can rightly say, and we should say, that he did it all for us. But we must always remember there is a higher purpose. There is a higher end. And that is his own honor and glory. Nothing matters more than the glory of God. And we are saved to the glory of God. So let us remember with thanksgiving the Lord Jesus Christ, who in all things and in all of his life and experience was filled with the Holy Spirit without measure, beyond measure. And let us remember that as we seek to serve and follow him, we are commanded also to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the more we are filled with God, the Holy Spirit, the more we will resemble our Lord and Savior. And the more we are filled with God, the Holy Spirit, the brighter the light of our witness will shine. So let us be thankful for Jesus, our Spirit-filled Savior. He was Spirit-conceived, he was Spirit-anointed, and he was Spirit-exalted. Jesus knew well the great importance and great worth of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus encourages us to seek that for ourselves. And let this be the thing that we seek for ourselves of God. Jesus teaches in Luke 11, verse 13. He says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Jesus encourages us to ask for this same Holy Spirit for ourselves. To the Lord Jesus was given the Spirit beyond measure. And we in turn are to ask God for a greater measure of his Spirit for us. The Lord Jesus Christ, exalted by the Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ, in every way, our Spirit-filled Savior. Amen.